and sing the opening hymn. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Strong and faithful God, we
confess that we have not lived as your holy people in the world. We have closed our hearts to your love. We have resisted your light. We have failed to proclaim your mercy. Forgive what we have done and what we have left undone. Heal us with your abundant grace and help us walk as children of the light.
In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. Strengthened by the Holy Spirit, let us serve the Lord in newness of life.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us greet each other with the Lord's peace. Morning, and I want to thank Carol Bergstrand, Smith and family, in memory of Dorothy. So thank you for sponsoring the service this morning. And then, I'm going to turn the microphone over to our very own Jackie Peterson.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I just want to highlight a few exciting things that are coming up. First of all, next Sunday is the first Sunday of Advent, so the church year changes. And we have this wonderful tradition at Grace where after each service, we transform this beautiful sanctuary into a different beautiful sanctuary to celebrate Advent and Christmas. So we invite everyone who can please stay for just a little while after the service. No decorating degree is commanded. Absolutely, anybody who knows me, I am the least amount of decorating you can imagine. So please join us. It's everything from helping to put the tree up, which is just fluffing out those beautiful branches, to hanging decorations. And if there's anyone with lovely ladder skills, we need those to hang the wreaths and the bow across the archway here. And if this is not your service next Sunday, please join us to help decorate the Family Life Center. The second thing I'd like to highlight is 2 weeks from today, we are going to celebrate Grace Lutheran's 125th anniversary. And in your bulletin, you can see a nice full-page advertisement there for us. It's going to be a wonderful service. We're just having one service that Sunday. It's going to be at 9:30 in the Family Life Center so that we all come together to celebrate this anniversary. And the bishop is going to preach. We're going to have lots of special music. Okay, so in the Grace Lutheran tradition, there's going to be wonderful music there. And also in the Grace Lutheran tradition, after the service, we're going to go downstairs and have a wonderful Grace Lutheran potluck dinner. So get out those great recipes that you have and bring along some goodies and come down and join us for fun and fellowship. And I have one more announcement. One of our lovely pastors had a birthday yesterday. And so we would like to sing happy birthday to her. Come here, Pastor Kate. Would you join me, please? Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday, dear Pastor Kate. Happy birthday to you. We hope you had a great day yesterday and today.
That was an audition for choir. Y'all passed. There are other announcements in there. I just want to rush over them quickly. You'll notice that noisy offering last week with the matching over, somebody matched over $500, but it went for over $1,400. Seriously. Wow. There you go. And the rumors that we're going to start serving lobster, I think, are unfounded. We're just really grateful for your contribution and support. Also notice that there's another listening session coming up. It's after the second service this morning. It'll be right here in the sanctuary. Notice also there's an announcement about Thanksgiving Eve worship. That's this week at Wednesday at 7 p.m. at Calvary Lutheran. Please come join us for that. This morning we're welcoming an awesome group of new members at the second service, and you can look in there and see who those people are. And thanks to everyone who has stepped up to be mentors, is that what you, yeah, sponsors, whatever, okay. Also, you'll notice here in front of the altar, Operation Christmas Child, we brought a few boxes in because we're going to bless those as we send them off. thanks to everyone who filled boxes and brought them in organizing it all. Monday is Soup for the Soul, and I'm told the third Monday is our night to show up to help serve, so you're invited to do that. And Kate's got one announcement. Pastor Kate has an announcement.
I have a clipboard here for Christmas tea dessert. So we need 14 9x13 pans of dessert. So sign up if you're interested, and we have a recipe. So if you sign up, please take the recipe so it's all the same. It's strawberry pretzel something. So it's for the Christmas tea.
It's generally, Jell-O salad.
Generally, the guys are in the kitchen, so I'm sorry. Guys.
So. Can I put shredded carrots in mine, Pastor Kate?
No.
No.
Only if it's for the recipe.
No, just kind of follow the recipe.
And also, one announcement that was not in the bulletin is that there is a pancake breakfast at St. Mary's that starts at 9 this morning, and that all proceeds go towards the KCMA Good Samaritan Fund, which we've been getting a lot of calls lately. So please, if you're able to, head over to the Catholic Church after service.
Perfect. After worship, have pancakes, come back for the listening session. And then the final thing I want to talk to you about is these cards that were handed to you. Some people call them pledge cards. Some call them financial commitment cards. Some call them names that I can't repeat in church. We're going to do things a little differently this year. We're going to ask you to write your pledge down and put your name on. And on the back, there's an opportunity for you to ask God for something. Offer up a request to God and write it on the back of that card. And then stick it inside that envelope, seal it up, put your address, not mine, yours, not the church's, yours, put your address right here. What we're going to do is we're going to leave them sealed. We're going to store them away in a mayonnaise jar locked under Leah's front porch. But we're going to store them away, keep them safe. And 6 months from now, because this is a six-month pledge, 6 months from now, that's right, I said it's a six-month pledge, because life is uncertain. What do you know is going to happen 6 months from now? I'll probably be jobless. What do I know? Thank God for every day you're working, right? Yes. 6 months from now, we are going to drop this in the mail and send it back to you. And we're going to ask you to open it up. We're going to ask you to look at what your commitment was so you remind yourself. But we're going to ask you to look at that back prayer that you wrote and say, is God faithful? God is faithful. And then we're going to ask you to recommit for another 6 months. That's how the whole system works. In the newsletter, it'll be outlined again, and we'll communicate that as often as we can, and hopefully we'll all keep it straight. And I have somebody waving at me, not because she's in a parade, but because I probably missed something. Yes?
They did not get the envelope.
The envelopes, thank you, Diane. The envelopes are out on the desk in the narthex, in the other narthex. There are envelopes like this, blank ones. Thank you for, that's right. And if you have any questions, certainly you can ask. For now, let's continue with worship. And we continue with the prayer of the day. Let us pray. Oh God,
our true life is to serve you is freedom, and to know you is unending joy. We worship you. We glorify you. We give thanks to you for your great glory. Abide with us, reign in us, and make this world into a fit habitation for your divine majesty. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns
first reading for Christ the King Sunday is written in Jeremiah 23, verses 1 through 6, and it is in your bulletin also. Today's reading builds on the common ancient Near Eastern metaphor that the king as a shepherd. Judah's unjust rulers have caused their people, their flock, to be scattered. Nevertheless, the Lord will raise up a new and righteous shepherd who will rule a restored Judah. Here begins the reading. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who shepherd my people, it is you who have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. So I will attend to you for your evil doing, says the Lord. Then I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of the lands that where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. I will raise up shepherds over them who will shepherd them, and they shall not fear any longer or be dismayed, nor shall any be missing, says the Lord. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. And this is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness. Here ends the first reading. The second reading for Christ the King Sunday is written in Colossians chapter 1, verses 11 through 20. Amid scoffing and slander from those who sarcastically call him Messiah and King, Jesus reveals that to be Messiah and King is to give one's life for others. Here he uses his power to welcome a despised sinner to paradise, but puts his own death into God's hands. Here begins the reading. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience, while joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers, all things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. Here ends the second reading.
Open your hymnals to page 236 in the front, and we'll be reading Psalm 46 responsively by verse. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be moved,
and though the mountains be toppled into the depths of the sea,
though its waters rage and foam, and though the mountains tremble at its tumult.
The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold.
There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High.
God is in the midst of her. She shall not be overthrown. God shall help her at her great day.
The nations make much ado, and the kingdoms are shaken. God has spoken, and the earth shall melt away.
The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold.
Come now and look upon the works of the Lord, what awesome things he has done on earth.
It is he who makes war to cease in all the world. He breaks the bow, sheds the spear, and burns the shields of fire.
Be still then and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth.
The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold.
Please rise as you are able as we hear the word of the Lord. The Gospel of Luke, the 23rd chapter, verses 33 through 43.
Glory to you, Lord.
When they came to the place that's called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing. And the people stood by watching, but the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. We don't have any kids with us this morning, but since I actually worked hard on my children's sermon, at least finding things for it, you're still going to hear it. So, in my magical bag, I have a variety of hats, and it's your job to tell me what these hats are, who wears these hats. Okay, the first one would be construction worker. Very good. Second one, Santa Claus. This is a mini Santa Claus. This one, a cowboy, especially one from Deadwood, South Dakota. Pastor Mike. or a princess. And the last one I couldn't actually find in our church, but we have one somewhere. So you have a picture.
Jesus,
and this is a what?
Crown.
A crown. And just a side note, I asked the Chan Chow kids if Jesus wore a crown, and the answer was yes, and almost all of them got that. So I was, yes, Jesus wore a crown. Is this a crown that regular kings and queens, princesses, princes wear?
No.
No. But Jesus wore this crown, and Jesus is the ultimate king. And his reign is the ultimate reign. He loves us so much. He cares for us. Unlike any king or queen or any royalty out there would, he gave up his entire life for us. And what Jesus wants us to do as people in his kingdom is to give up our lives for him, to follow in his ways, to give our hearts to him. So he wants us to put him first, like he puts us first. So that means maybe giving up sports or sleeping in or whatever that may be to follow him, to worship him, to follow in his ways. He is a great king and a great one to follow. So let us pray. Dear God, we give you thanks for your son Jesus, who loves us and loves this world. Help us to remember to make Jesus the king of our hearts today and every day. In your name we pray. Amen. Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. A few weeks ago, I read an article about King Louis, and I think it's the 14th, better known as the Sun King. He was a mighty king in the sense that he imposed absolute rule over France and, through many wars, aimed to impose absolute rule over the rest of Europe. He also sought to eliminate the feudal system to make the government more centralized. But the article wasn't about his rule or his wars or even his marriages. It was about how much he ate. The Sun King, like many royalty, lived an extremely lavish life. While the rest of France suffered through famines, the Sun King continued to eat excessively. A main meal would consist of four different kinds of soups, a whole bird such as pheasant, partridge, chicken, or duck stuffed with truffles, a huge salad, some mutton, a large couple slices of ham, a pastry or three, raw fruit, and finally compotes and preserves. He had 1,000 orange trees planted in movable buckets throughout his palace just so that he could have fresh orange juice in the morning. Along with oranges, 500 kinds of pears were grown along with exotic foods such as pineapples and coffee beans. Several times a week, soirees were held with loaded buffet tables of coffee, hot chocolate, wine, liquor, and other buffet tables which held desserts of every imaginable sort. Needless to say, he was a glutton who would likely have not been able to understand the needs of his subjects, those that were suffering through the famines. And this picture of a king, especially a king prior to modern day, is what comes to mind for many people. It's hard for us to picture a king who isn't dressed up in the finest clothes, eating the extravagant foods, and living in exquisite palaces. When seeing a man nailed upon a cross among criminals, one does not assume he is a king. Crucifixion was meant to humiliate. It was the lowest and cruelest form of punishment, so of course you wouldn't assume this man to be a king. Yet nailed above Jesus' head was an inscription stating, "This is the King of the Jews," meant to mock this man nailed on the cross. But how true the statement was. And not only is he the King of the Jews, he's King of all people. He is the Lord of heaven and of earth, his kingdoms. We saw glimpses of what these kingdoms are like through the parables. This king will be generous and even perhaps insultingly generous, as seen in the parable of the laborers in the vineyard, where even those who accept the invitation to the work in the vineyard, no matter how late in the day, will receive an equal reward with those who have been faithful the longest. This king invites those deemed unworthy into his kingdom, as seen in the parables of the wedding banquet. The king cares about the subjects of his kingdom and desires to have relationship with them. If they leave him, regardless of the reason, he will welcome them back with open arms, as seen in the parable of the prodigal son. If one of the subjects becomes lost, he will go looking for them, as a good shepherd would do for his sheep. From what the parables and from what Jesus has told us, this kingdom is very different from kingdoms we know, and unlike the Sun King, our ruler is humble, and method of ruling is unconventional. What our king wants from us is also unconventional. In this realm of God, this kingdom in which we live now, we are expected to share our faith with one another. It is no longer a private, personal matter. This means talking to our family, friends, and even strangers about why we go to church and why our faith in Jesus matters to us. We are expected to be conscious of the need of our neighbors. This means not putting ourselves first, but looking out for the homeless, the poor, the addicted, the lonely, the depressed, the downhearted, and help them. We are expected to share our wealth and not assume that it has been entrusted to us or that we are entitled to it. This means we are to use the gifts that we have been given, not to make our lives more comfortable, but to give the gifts away for the benefit of others. We also no longer can be comfortable in our faith and our lives, pushing the thought of the end times as far back in our minds as possible. We claim that we give enough, do enough, and prepared ourselves enough for what lies ahead. The kingdom of God is around us. We are living in it, and God calls us to follow the rules of the kingdom right now. Although these expectations seem difficult, our humble king gives us the reassurance and the support that we need. We especially recognize this humble king's reign today. Through our gospel text, we see our king in the most unusual spot for a king to be, hung on a cross between the two criminals. He's not given the treatment of a king, rather the complete opposite. His life reflects this. He was born in a barn and laid in a manger, and when he had grown, worked as a carpenter. He caught his own food and walked to his destinations. He hung out not with royalty or even people of high society, but rather with people with bad reputations. And on the cross, he too did not act like a typical king. During his crucifixion, during the mocking and the scoffing, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Through all of the pain and the suffering he endured, Jesus forgave the ones that brought about his agony. As one of the criminals hanging beside Jesus derided him and mocked him, the other criminal rebuked him and said to Jesus, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." This king, amid his agony, welcomed a criminal into his kingdom and promised relief from suffering. Jesus' final acts define who our king is. On the cross, we fully understand who our king is. He defied the expectations of a king and refused to conform to this world. He is a king who came to us in the most humble way to understand who we are and to meet our needs. He is a king whose nature is to embrace all, forgive all, and redeem all. And finally, he is a king who welcomes us into his kingdom and urges us to recognize what's expected of us in the kingdom on earth. Today we recognize a crucified king, and we praise him and thank him for being a king who has humbly given us the greatest gift, eternal life. Amen. Please rise as you are able as we confess our faith with the words of the Apostles. I believe in God, the Father Almighty,
creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You may be seated and continue the offering.
We'd like to do a song this morning called a Thanksgiving Prayer, because surely we have a lot to be thankful for.
Merciful God,
it would have been enough for you to give us the fruit of the earth by which we live. But in this meal, by your promise, you also give us yourself. Use what we have gathered here in feeding the hungry world with your love. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
We're going to pray over the Operation Christmas Child boxes and the shipment that's going to go out, and that will just be part of the prayers of the church. So let us join our hearts together in prayer. Almighty and ever-living God, you have blessed us richly. You have blessed us with opportunities, Lord, and we thank you for this opportunity to put little gifts in cardboard boxes, pack them together, and ship them by the thousands of children in need. Lord, we thank you for each and every person who works to ship those boxes and to fill those boxes and to deliver those boxes. Lord, we know full well that it's not just the toys, but it's a symbol of love and concern and care. So, Lord, send that along with these boxes. Help the children around the world to know someone out there cares about them. And most importantly, God does. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord, we thank you today for the new members that are going to join our faith family. Lord, we ask that you would strengthen them in their commitment to discipleship and following you, and that you would help us to welcome them as brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord, Thanksgiving weekend is coming up. We ask, Lord, that you would send your holy angels to watch over all who travel, to deliver them safely to and from their destinations. And Lord, that your love would fill families so that their time together could be precious and special. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Jesus, you are the source of healing and strength, and we pray that you would be with your servants who are in need of your healing touch. Especially, we remember Selena, Don, Bill, Mindy, Donald, Ashley, Irene, Becky, Paul and Diane, Douglas, Dawn, Ernie, Anita, Ken, Sharon, Judy, Rochelle, Debbie, Byron, Shalene, Pam, Mark, Renee, Phyllis, and Jessica, and those who we name in our hearts. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Gracious Lord, in this time when the world always seems like it's in turmoil, Lord. So we really need the people who have dedicated their lives to protecting and serving us. Guard and protect police officers, sheriff's deputies, firefighters, EMTs, the military. Be with their families as well, and especially we lift up Nick and Ryan. Guard and protect them, Lord, as they guard and protect us. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Almighty God, we thank you for the gift of prayer. Help us, Lord, to grow in prayer. Help us, Lord, to listen to you so we can know what your will is for our lives. Especially, Lord, in this year of transition, help the members of this congregation, Grace Lutheran, to listen to your will, to do your will, and to be excited about the glorious future that you have in store. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Turn now to the sacrament of Holy Communion. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
Jesus, redeemer of the world. Committed to change the world by God's grace through worship.